six-pack of questions, although it might be a seven-pack today. College football questions as we get ready for the first full weekend of the season. Kang, on your mark, get set, let's go.
All right, do you want to go first? Or do you want to go first?
I'll go first.
All right, you go first. All right, the new playoff system, Doug, it gets an early stress test when a popular playoff pick, Florida State, loses their opener. Do you like the fact that they still have a chance and their season's not over yet?
So, under the old system, I guess their season wouldn't have been over, but they would have needed help. Now their margin of error gets cut down, and I guess I'm still vested, you know, because I've said for this whole thing, it's almost like a trial basis. We'll see how you feel. When I watch that game, I was into it, man. I was vested in the outcome of that game, and I imagine Florida State fans are panicked because of what happened, but if they win the rest of their games, they're in. And under the old system, if they won the rest of their games, they might have got in as well. It's when they endure the second loss. But I realize that it's shifting all of the intensity, which used to be week in, week out. It's just going to shift it more to the end of the season when teams are toying with their second loss or their third loss that would knock them out. There'll just be more games at the end of the regular season that feel do or die than they feel at the beginning of the season right now. So, you know, it's kind of delayed gratification in that regard, but I'm hoping that I love each and every Saturday the way I used to.
Yeah, college football's changing, Doug, and it's becoming more and more like the NFL every day that, you know, that goes on and that passes by. But and this is one of them, the fact that you can lose games and still be in the playoff picture. This is what they want. They don't want seasons over early. They want people engaged throughout the entire year. Adding the playoff teams means you can lose more games and still have a chance. So in the end, I do like it because I'm more of an NFL guy. I think it's maybe just part of me just accepting the fact that this is happening whether I like it or not. So if I like it, it would be easier to watch. So, but in the end, I find it just more NFL-like, so I like the NFL. I'm going to say yes, Doug. I enjoy this.
Okay.
An FCS team, Montana State, beat an FBS team, New Mexico, last Saturday. Tomorrow night, Colorado plays 9-time FCS champion North Dakota State. Should the Buffaloes be on upset alert?
They should. I think they're going to win, and I really like the over in this game because I think Colorado's offense is going to score. But North Dakota State has a 4-year starter at quarterback. The last two times they played up a division, they lost to Arizona in 2022, 31-28, and they lost to Iowa in 2016, 23-21. They're going to give Colorado headaches. I think Colorado's going to win in a shootout, but I think that this is going to be an exciting game.
They absolutely should be on upset alert. I think these FCS schools, especially the really good ones, you don't mess around with them. You mentioned they have guys that stick around, and the really good ones end up going to schools like Colorado, right? I mean, this is where you know, the big-time schools are actually poaching players from is the FCS schools. North Dakota State, I don't think they pull off the victory, Doug, but definitely they should be. A Colorado fan should be on upset alert. All right, a new proposal. It's going to bring some restrictions to the transfer portal. I just spoke about the transfer portal. The proposal limits portal entry to 30 days in December. Do you like this?
So I like it sort of. I think they completely blew it. I think the portal, because they've got a spring portal right now and a winter portal. If they're going to eliminate one, eliminate the one around signing day. Like the portal being open while teams are signing their recruiting classes conflicts with one another. Because you're getting all these freshmen to sign who are signing at schools in part because I can play, I see the roster, and then a transfer comes in and takes your spot right after you sign. I think they should put it at the end of the year so that student athletes can be at the schools for a full year, go through spring ball. They might be discouraged in the fall and want to transfer. And then after spring, they might feel completely differently. Plus, your signings, your recruits are all signed, your classes are finalized, and it's not unfair to the recruits to see somebody jump their spot. Now, maybe that'll happen in the portal, but there won't be as many spots open. I think it'll calm things down. I'm stunned that they're keeping the December one and not keeping the spring one when coaches could focus on high school recruiting in the early portion of the season and portal recruiting at the end.
Yeah, I'm yes and no. I like guidelines. We need some guidelines with this crazy, you know, new college football we talk about all the time. NIL, transfer portal, sometimes it's just the wild, wild west out there. I don't know. I need rules to follow or it's anarchy, right? The no part I don't like is, yeah, I don't like the time frame either, Doug. That part doesn't make sense. I think we're headed towards eventually the right decision, the right guidelines here, the right rules to follow. Not quite there yet, but yeah, yes and no on me. They got to clean that up. Sunday, a marquee game. USC plays LSU in Las Vegas. Do you or anybody have any rooting interest for our new Big Ten brother? Are the Trojans on your side in this one, Doug?
It's so funny because I've watched Wisconsin play LSU or, you know, even Ohio State, Oregon a few years ago where I found myself rooting for the Big Ten team. Of course, when Ohio State loses, I enjoy that too. But like Penn State, Auburn a couple years ago, these big marquee matchups where I just instinctively be rooting for the Big Ten team. I'm going to try. It'll be good for the conference if USC beats LSU. I can't even spit out that sentence without feeling weird. But I'm going to try to root for the Big Ten's USC Trojans. I'm going to try. And I always talk about how in theory you say something prior to a game, and then when the game starts, your real feelings come out.
Of course.
Yeah. And so I'm stating that the effort will be there to embrace USC in that matchup with LSU. Because I like a Big Ten team beating an SEC team. But it doesn't feel natural.
Doug, you're Mr. B1G, and if you're having a hard time, I can't do it. I mean, you know, you're the one who's always rooting for the Big Ten and, you know, conference over any other conference. I can't do it. Maybe it's because it's way too early. You know, of course, I don't feel like USC is a real Big Ten school. When I root against other, like, I can root against the SEC all day. That's easy. That doesn't mean I'm rooting for USC because of the Big Ten, though. So as of right now, can't do it. Not rooting for USC. Don't care about the Big Ten thing. But I'll root against the SEC all day. All right. Big game Saturday at noon. Penn State at West Virginia. Your thoughts on this game, Doug?
So a couple things about this. One is West Virginia is a very tough place to play. I think they've won 22 games in a row at home. Might be 22 non-conference games in a row at home, but whatever. It's a tough place to go. I think they're a 9.5-point underdog. Here's the thing about Penn State. They're really building their hopes around Drew Aller, and this is completely unfair. But it feels to me like they've recruited well at quarterback, but they really haven't had the guy since Kerry Collins. They've gone out and they've recruited and gotten Christian Hackenberg, and he was supposed to be the truth. And he just seemed to come up short in big games. Trace McSorley coming up short in big games. Maybe had the guy and you know, Levis, but lost him. I guess I will believe in Drew Aller when he does it. Because last year, there were the two biggest games, Michigan and Ohio State, he kind of looked like the reincarnation of Hackenberg. And so I'll believe it when I see it when it comes to Drew Aller, the quarterback. I can't even imagine the pressure.
Are you calling an upset here?
I might be. I can't even imagine the pressure on James Franklin if they lose that game.
Just say it, Doug. Penn State's going to lose. I think West Virginia's going to win this game. You just said it. They are tough at home. West Virginia, the hotels are all sold out. You know, they're ready for this big game. I know they're the underdog, and for good reason. I get that. But I think that they don't only just cover. They actually beat Penn State. But if they lose, like we spoke about earlier in the college football questions here, Doug, season's not over yet Penn State. So they can lose this and still move on and get in the playoff. But I think Penn State loses at West Virginia. All right, college football has a 2-minute warning now. Do you think you're going to like this?
Yeah, I do. But I think there's something really weird going on. I've noticed this in watching the games, and I get sent rule changes. Like I get all the rule changes. And I don't know why college football is calling this the 2-minute timeout. It's a 2-minute warning.
Yeah, just call it the 2-minute warning, man.
Why are they calling it the 2-minute timeout?
That's why I called it in the questions.
I know, and I'm like, I guess I got to call it the 2-minute timeout because that's what their wording is in the rule book. It's a 2-minute timeout, but it's a 2-minute warning. I like the concept. Just call it the 2-minute warning.
Yeah, this is just, dude, you're trying to be like more like the NFL. Just do it. Quit trying to, you know, hide from it. The 2-minute warning. I don't know if 2-minute timeout's going to catch on, maybe because if the announcers keep saying it, but overall, I do like this new implementing of this new rule because I think Listen, entertainment, that's what sports is about. They're trying to get the offense another shot to go down and win the game or tie the game. And to me, though, they should actually get rid of the stop the clock for the changing of the first down chains. Actually, I just go full NFL, I guess. Just make it the NFL. All right, strange but new betting trend, Doug. This is real. I can't believe I'm going to ask you this, but you can bet on hypothetical games, all right, between two teams that are not playing each other. It's called a mythical matchup. For example, this week on FanDuel, Ohio State is a 21.5-point favorite over Michigan. That's right. They're not playing each other, but they're a 21.5-point favorite over Michigan. For Ohio State to cover, they need to score 22 or more points against Akron than Michigan scores against Fresno. Do you like this?
I think this is ridiculous. And I got to admit, I kind of like it. You get vested in two games. You watch, like, if you decide to bet Michigan plus a 21.5, you watch Ohio State Akron. And then, you know what? I get Elam ending vibes. Michigan will have a target score that they have to meet.
Yeah, for you.
Yeah.
not for Michigan.
No, not for Michigan. Yeah, you're right. But I'll be watching with a target score. I mean, look, I'm not going to bet the game. Let me be clear about that.
Be very clear.
I'm very clear. I'm not betting. But the concept, I think, is intriguing. It also might speak to having problems if you're betting hypothetical matchups.
They're not hypothetical anymore, Doug. You can bet on them, so it's real to me. At first, I'm like, you, this is too much. Like, you've got a problem. Call the number. But then I'm like, wait, you can bet against Ohio State. You can bet Michigan against Ohio State every week.
Yep.
You not just against Ohio State. You can bet for Michigan against Ohio State every week. So when I said it out loud, it kind of sounds cool. But I don't know if I'll try this. But it's available for those that want to do it.
There it is. That concludes the live animal mascot trophy game. Blitz thingy.